Thank you so much for joining Losing My Religion podcast. My name is Joshua Preston. Today we have a new episode for you. We hope that it encourages you and through the discussions to what our part, our journey, and maybe even what the Holy Spirit is revealing in your heart with it. We hope that it encourages you and helps you on your way, helps us to enjoy more of His love for us, enjoy the relationship that we have with Him, so that we can actually be better human beings, be the human beings that He has created us to be, to love one another just as He loves us. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you love our podcast, please subscribe and share. And you can actually become a podcast contributor if you like to. If you feel led to, if you don't, and we're absolutely fine with that. So we hope you enjoyed this episode today, and we look forward to having more discussions with you in the future. And so enjoy.
You're absolutely right on that, man. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest problems we have is acknowledging it.
If you ignore it long enough, it'll just go away.
And the funny is that some people were like, well, the few black people I talked to, they said they only experience racism 2 or 3 times a year. And my thing was, go into your community, create a safe space, and say, what is it to you? What's going on in your life? Tell me what's been going on in your life. Do you feel oppressed? To every black person in the community. And then go outside that community. And then go to the next one and ask. Because I always call BS when somebody says, I have black friends, and Arnia says it best. Let me go ask your black friends if they consider you to be a friend, and that you care about their life. Does their black life matter to you? And then
trotting out, Candace Owens or Walter Williams or Thomas Sowell.
That's not
the answer. I mean, like when you come up with that, at that point you completely lose me.
Because these
people are, first of all, they operate in a bubble, and they think that they're exempt from certain things, and they're blinded by their ideology, but the ideology doesn't change the condition. I was thinking about this. Chris Rock did this thought experiment in one of his routines. He said, anyone in this audience, any you white people, how many of you guys wouldn't mind being me? And very few hands went up. And Chris Rock said that makes sense, because you really don't want to be me, and I'm fucking rich. it's like the poorest white person does not want to be the wealthiest black person. They don't, because they understand the privilege that is associated with being white.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem, man. And it perpetuates a problem, and it plagues our communities. And if we sit here, and I'm going to call the church out, you want to sit here and say, we'll just pray this away, and dad's looking at you like, okay, let's move. Our body, you're the body of Christ, so let's move. Let's get this done. Let's do it.
Come on. It works to your faith.
Yes, let's just do it. And I do believe, like, we want to talk about the world being flipped upside down. Well, the world gets flipped upside down if we start treating people as if they're human and if they're equal.
We don't want to flip things upside down, Josh. No. We want to set things right side up. The world is upside down right now.
Yeah.
See, and this is my issue with the church. Basically, racism in America could literally be addressed overnight. Literally. If the white churches, predominantly evangelical churches, would simply say that, yes, we acknowledge that there is a problem. Yes, we see it. And no, we are not going to stand for it anymore. We are now going to put pressure on our elected leaders. We're going to put pressure on financial institutions. We're going to put pressure on business, and we're going to do this until all every vestige of racially based economic and social oppression is eradicated.
We can't have a better tomorrow just sitting on our asses.
Nope, exactly.
If we do that, then the people who don't like that, who have all the money and who are our biggest spenders, are going to leave. We can't have that.
And that's the thing. What the church thrives on is control. Right. Yep. Because basically the black church and the black church is just as complicit in this. I'm not going to give them a hall pass on this, because basically they will say, well, you know, we don't need to rock the boat. We just need to trust Jesus. We need to trust God. God is going to deliver us. God is he's always on time and all of that. So basically you have the black church on the one hand that they're placating. You know, what they're doing is they're saying, you know, don't worry about it now. When you get to heaven, you're going to have a mansion. It's going to be all good. And then the white church, on the other hand, they have to keep people under control. They have to have the moral high ground. They have to control the political narrative. They have to control the historical narrative. And if they were to recant on any of this, then that would mean that I have to give up some power. If I'm the white church, I have to give up some power. And that's the whole thing. You know, black preachers, they get the crumbs, and they get some social status that the other black folks don't get for keeping all the Negroes in line. And then the white churches, they're basically benefiting by concentrating the wealth and the power in their people. But by keeping that wealth and power concentrated with their people, their people continue to give and support the machine. So you see, it just works out for everybody not to provide any liberty.
And what does it say? To the privilege, equality feels like oppression.
Yep.
And when in reality, it's really freedom. And it's really, and I say this, and I'll be totally frank about this, and I don't care what people have to say. As great as we have seen, like we've seen George Washington cover it, my God, the dude found so many different ways you can do a peanut. Mm-hmm. Imagine if his family never experienced racism. How much more could we have found out about peanut? And I say that because I feel like African Americans, black people have been, as you said, weighted down and therefore can't fully express. And we see some amazing stuff, but how much more amazing would it be if we eradicated racism and the trauma of racism mm-hmm. is actually being healed and dealt with? How much more creativity and beauty? And I even say that to the whole community as a whole. How much better would it be? How much more beautiful and creativity coming out? We should be flying in freaking cars, but yet we're dealing with this.
Those 400 years, what could have come out of?
Man, you mentioned the flying car. Damn it, where is my flying car? I grew up in the era of the Jetsons. God damn it, I want my flying car.
Exactly. I want you too, man. Jeez, I'm tired of driving on the road.
Yeah.
This thing about the church, we can't even get beyond Hebrews 6:1. And I'm not in there. It talks about the basic foundation of Christianity that pretty much gets ignored by the church at large. And it talks about, I'm just talking about the first one that's listed, repentance from dead works. Forget about faith toward God. Forget about the all that other stuff. Repentance from dead works. What are dead works? Works that have no life in them. Oh, well, let me tithe to make the church bigger so that we can have a basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter about all the people who are on welfare in our church. Doesn't matter about the single mom who has to make a choice every month about whether she's going to get new tires or she's going to feed her kids. Doesn't matter about the guy who's an ex-con who has this kind of job, but he used to be a lawyer and he knows things, Can he go and practice law again? Maybe not. But what can we do for him? What can we as a body do for him? There was a letter that was written in the early church times from one church to another. It was, I believe it was from Ephesus to Alexandria. And the church in Ephesus writes to the church in Alexandria and says, look, we have this guy that he used to be an actor. And back then acting meant homosexuality and blah, 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 blah. And things that weren't considered good. So they said, you know, what can we do with this guy? And so Alexandria writes back to them and says, he's not to do that ever again. You teach him a new trade. If he can't, for whatever reason, learn that new trade, you are to provide for his needs for the rest of his life. If you do not have the capability of that, then you send him to us.
I think one of that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Where is that? I don't see that happening at all.
No.
I see needs going unmet. I see members of the body being dismembered.
Yeah.
With an axe. I see the eye saying to the foot, I don't need you. I see the hand saying to the elbow, I don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
We all need each other.
That's so true.
I know. Korea has something she wants to say. Yeah. After she says something, I'm going to say something. I'm going to go full heretic here. So I just want y'all to know.
I believe the cure to having social justice, I should say that, having social justice is being conscious of the fact that we are all connected. And our even our being, it all plays a part in social justice, in equality, in everything. Just like you said, Tim, remembering we're members.
Now, let me piggyback on that, because we are members. We are members of what? If your finger is on your body, it is part of your human being. So it is therefore a human finger. And because it is a human finger and it happens to be your finger, you're going to have a special affinity for that finger. You're going to do everything that you can do to prevent that finger from being hurt. Or, as Tim said so eloquently, being dismembered. Here's where the problem is. And I'm going to say this, and after this, I really don't have much else to say. And it's this. The reason why people treat each other badly, the reason why people execute violence toward one another, the reason why people steal from one another, the reason why people silence the voices of one another is because they have failed to recognize their own divinity.
Mm.
Because when people are all caught up in trying to understand God, trying to find God, trying to define God, trying to study God, when all they need to do is A, look in the mirror, and there God is, and B, look at your neighbor, and there God is. So here's the thing, that if you acknowledge, and I say this, I'm on the record of saying this, I've been a guest on two different podcasts today besides this one. And it's this, that if you want to see God, look in the mirror, because you are God. I'm not talking about you are a little g god, or you're a spinoff of God. You're the sequel to God. No, you are God. Now, the thing is that you are limited only by your physical being, because your physical being occupies physical space. And therefore, your limitations are this physical space, this dimension, if you will. But we are capable of doing everything in this dimension that God is able to do in multi-dimensions. Mm-hmm. Now, why is all of this important? Because, Tim, if I look at you and I say namaste, I see the God in you. If you are divine to me, I'm going to go out of my way not to hurt or offend you. And I'm going to go out of my way to bless and edify you. The problem is not how we do religion. Fuck religion. The problem is recognizing our true identity. See, the thing is that Clark Kent didn't do anything spectacular on a consistent basis until he realized that he was Kal-El. Yep. When he recognized that he was Kal-El, he recognized that he was literally unlimited.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So until we see, and that L is not there by accident. Mm-hmm. L is the suffix that means of God. When you recognize that you are of God, that God is in you, that you are God, and that God is in your neighbor, that God that your neighbor is of God, and that your neighbor is God.
You are them, they are you.
Yeah, when you begin to process that, and then that tells you that if I'm God and you're God, that means that all humanity must be God. And we just really need to take care of ourselves and stop dismembering one another, as Tim so eloquently put it. And that's it. Beyond that, brothers and sisters, I have nothing else.
Well, that's perfect, man, because that was a perfect way to end it. And I say that because I think you hit on the nail on that one. Yeah. If we don't value even ourselves, and not value the person next to us, we'll always keep destroying each other in ourselves.
And when we do realize more of who we are, we can be a voice.
Yes.
For those who do not.
Exactly.
Who are having issues with identity, who don't feel as if or believe as if they matter, who correct. Don't believe as if their voice matters.
Correct.
Yep.
Yep.
And so I want to encourage anybody who's listening, if we kind of open ourselves up. We want to create a safe place for people. So you can message us. You can email us at hello@losemyreligion.love. Tell us your pain. Tell us your story. And I promise you, you won't be made fun of. It's a safe place. You can voice message us for 1 minute. Tell us a snippet. And we'll put on the episode so people can hear and share your story. Because your story matters. You matter. Your life matters.
What you're going through is real.
Yes.
What you're experiencing is real. And it very well is going to be different from someone else's. But we need to share these perspectives.
These perspectives,
and to have more
yes.
of an understanding.
They help other people to understand outside of their box. That's why I do what I do. And the people who are friends with me on Facebook, man, we do not agree one bit. But my thing is, if somebody doesn't challenge them, who will?
Yep.
And I'm a voice of challenge. And I said, I told my wife, I said, I knew that my voice will always be something important. I thought preaching and church, you mean the pastor stuff would be it. But I realized it's all groomed me. I feel like Hulk saying, I think I was made for this.
There was much
getting ready to snap my finger. And I was yeah. made for this.
Yeah.
And I was made for this. And I want to encourage people, don't stop talking. But also be quick to listen. and listen to people. Listen to people's pain, listen to them, and then speak. Speak out of point of hearing. Yes, absolutely.
Acknowledge their presence.
Yes.
See them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So with that, there we thank you so much for being on, man.
Sure.
Yes.
Man, I'm always happy to join the Losing My Religion crew. You guys are awesome.
Yes. Man, we
yes, we are awesome.
We so cool, man. we're the best podcast
out. Oh yeah. Y'all the shit.
appreciate it, man.
We appreciate the love, man. And by the way, what's tell us a couple of podcasts because I tell us a couple of things that you have going on right now so that people
So glad you asked that you guys can catch me. Number one, at the Heretic Happy Hour podcast.
Which is freaking awesome.
Which I'm blessed to be a part of with Keith Giles, Katie Valentine, and Matthew DiStefano, three of the most awesome human beings, awesome theologians that I know. I sit down and rap with these guys and just say, I'm not worthy. But even though I know I'm worthy, it's like, you know, like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, you know, that kind of thing, or Wayne's World or whatever it is. And then also my podcast is the Love Forward podcast, which both of these podcasts, you can catch them on iTunes. You can catch them on Spotify, Podbean, wherever podcasts can be found. And also check out my blog, which is called Love Minus Religion, on patheos.com.
Awesome.
And also you can contact me on my website at www.derekday.com and click the link mark contact, and it'll give you a form that's easy to fill out. And if you fill this out and put a message in there, it will send me an email. And whether you think that I'm the neatest thing since sliced bread or the biggest asshole you've ever heard, I promise you that I will reply.
And you also catch you live. You do a lot of Facebook feed live as well.
Yep.
Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, yes. Right?
Fridays and Sundays, and I'm gearing back up to do the daily ones, the Love Forward Daily messages. But I'm trying to reformulate that because with everything that's going on in the world, you know, I don't want to try to be positive just for the sake of glossing things over. I want things to be legit. So I'm kind of reformulating my mental for that.
Gotcha. That's good, though. That's good.
Well, I appreciate you, Derek. I appreciate you, Tim. Even though it's tough to talk about, I'm sure it's tough for our listeners to hear, but it's much needed, and being, you know, me, if you know who I am or see me, my life matters.
It does.
And yeah. I can say that. I can confidently say that more so than I've ever been able to before because of people like you, Joshua, who've taken the time to listen. You've seen some of the stuff I've gone through because of the color of my skin. But you've taken the time to listen and to understand. And because of that, I have more confidence to be more of who I am and to appreciate more of who I am, but also to have the strength to, I don't know, to go on about my everyday life as best as I can.
Well,
I love you guys. That's all. I think you're all awesome. That's it. I can't keep, I can't stop glowingly, you know, saying things about you guys because you're just fucking awesome people.
So are you, man. So are you.
I can't say anything because I'm too busy over here cheesing.
Well, we thank all of our listeners. Until next time, we want to say we love you and we're here for you. And your life matters.
Amen.